Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This morning we will look at two stories of gratitude. Both deal with the terrible disease of leprosy. We see two men miraculously healed by God's power. One was resistant to Elisha's command to dip in the Jordan River, while the 10 lepers Jesus healed went immediately to the priest just as Jesus ordered. The lessons we learn from these stories about gratitude is in the response to their healings. Both men went immediately to the person that had healed them and praised God for his mercy and goodness. But only one leper returned to give praise to God. Why didn't the other nine return to Jesus? Maybe they wanted to see their families, get back to make a living, or just be around people and enjoy a good meal. Who knows? Even though they received a physical healing, they missed out on a spiritual healing as well. Look at Jesus' last words to the Samaritan leper. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. He had met the Savior face to face, and now he knew him for eternity. It's so easy to complain and be critical. We all know people that never have a positive or good word to say. As Christians, gratitude and thanksgiving must be a main part of our daily thought process. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We'll look at some reasons that we have to always be thankful, as well as some verses to keep close to remind us to be grateful in Christ. Two of those verses come from Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my own inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's why we must read his word regularly so we don't forget his goodness to us. Have a blessed week, and thank you for listening.
Our guest minister for this morning's program is Mr. David Kohler from Jefferson City.
When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
May younger people likewise be subject to your elders.
Holly Beery leads our children's time.
Good morning, friends. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
Good. There's a lot of faces here this morning. That's good. Okay, who can tell me how you can spend more time with God? Praying with him and just talking to him, right? How else can you spend more time with God? What do you think, Johnny? Coming to church and Sunday school? Is that good? Read the Bible, read his word, right? He gave it to us for a reason. Anything else you think? Yeah, Sophie. Pray every night. And it doesn't even have to be at night, does it? You can talk to him all day long if you want. Well, here's one thing that we do at our house. Do you guys know what this is? It does have dinosaurs on it. Can anybody read this word here in the kind of turquoise banner? It says, devotion. Does anybody have a devotional? Do you guys have a devotional at home? No? Okay. I want everyone to put this on their Christmas list, okay? Your moms and dads will help you. A devotional. So every day you can read a little passage, or mom and dad or grandma and grandpa can read a little passage to you, and it's like reading the Bible. So it will help you stay with God all day long. So this is a devotional that we're reading right now. So we kind of are fascinated with dinosaurs right now. So our devotional is a dinosaur devotional. But you can find all sorts of different devotionals that you might be interested in. So I'm going to read a little bit out of this one to you guys today. So who likes dinosaurs? Johnny, you like dinosaurs? Okay, Our dinosaur today is an iguanodon. And this is what scientists maybe think the iguanodon might have looked like. They think it might have been, well, before they knew for sure, they thought it was a giant crocodile.
A giant crocodile.
But they did more research and they found out it was actually a dinosaur. So here's our devotional. The iguanodon had many unique features, such as a cone-shaped spike on its thumb that it may have used as a weapon against its enemies. It also had four other fingers on each side of its hands so it could grab plants for an easy lunch. So it was a herbivore, it was a plant eater. And though the iguanodon usually walked on all four legs, it was able to run on its back legs while keeping its body in a horizontal position. Like this, right? Yeah. Its stiff, heavy tail helped this large dinosaur balance itself. Without the tail, the iguanodon probably would have toppled if it tried to run on two legs. Its tail was the key to balancing its large body. How's your balance? Good? Perfect? Okay. Have you ever tried to stand on one leg and then extend your other leg back behind you without toppling over?
Yes.
Yeah? If I weren't wearing heels, maybe I would demonstrate, but maybe not today, huh? It can be hard, right? It's not easy sometimes. Well, being off balance isn't good in any area of life. For example, if you're too busy with sports or homework or playing video games that you have no time to spend with God, then you're a little off balance, right? You might fall flat on your face if you're not spending time with God, right? So ask God to be your tail, just like the iguanodon, and help you have balance in your life. When you put God first in your life, He will help you do everything you need to do. He wants to be involved in every part of your life. And when you involve Him, He will help keep your life in perfect balance. Okay, so your guys' challenge is to put a devotional on your Christmas list, okay? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for bringing all these children here with us today and help us to keep our lives balanced so that we can make sure that we are always putting you first. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you, friends.
Our senior choir sings "Great is the Lord."
Grace.
David Kohler's sermon is entitled, My Soul, the Three-Year-Old.
This morning I'm going to talk about a psalm, Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not aspire great things or matters too lofty for me. Surely I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This psalm is a psalm of ascents. It was sung by the Hebrew pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, or possibly while they were ascending Mount Zion, or possibly on the steps of the temple. This song is attributed to David. We believe he was the writer. And it's classified among the songs of confidence. Like I said earlier, this is among one of the shortest psalms, but it's packed. In the short verses, it's packed with lots of good stuff. And it's a psalm about humility. Verse 1 starts out with, My heart is not proud, O Lord, and my eyes are not haughty. Now that's a word we don't hear very much, haughty. So I had to look that one up, to be honest. The definition of haughty is arrogantly, superior, or disdainful. Most of us know what those all are. So not being haughty, would make you humble. Opposite of haughty would be humble. And we know how important being humble is, because there's many places in Scripture, in the Bible, where there's references to how important it is to be humble. For example, Psalm 25 and verse 9, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble in his ways. In James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So the writer understands the importance of humility, and we're assuming the writer is David. So he understands how important it is to be humble. My focus today will be on verse 2 of this short little psalm. Surely I have stilled and quieted my soul. Okay, I think we need to spend a little time talking about our soul. I guess if I was to ask each of you to define what your soul is, I would get probably a similar answer from most folks. You may use the word spirit in that definition of your explanation. Quite commonly, the word soul and spirit get used interchangeably, in a general sense, that is, sometimes even in the Bible. But it is very, very important that we understand the significance between the difference between our soul and our spirit. Big difference. We're all familiar with what we call the Trinity, the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As people made in the image of God, we are three in one also. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. Okay, body, that's the easy one. We'll start off with the easy ones. The body, we start off with the body. The word in Greek is called soma. So the word body in Greek is soma. The body is what we see. We see all these bodies in here. So we look at each other, we see our bodies. We look in the mirror, we see ourselves. And the body has needs. Food, water, sleep, clothing, oxygen, so on, you get it. The body provides us with our senses of smell, sight, touch, taste, and hearing. Our soul, on the other hand. I was thinking of how to define soul, and I'm sorry, but for some reason I couldn't get out of my head a Toby Keith song. And part of the lyrics go, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. I want to talk about number one. Oh, my, me, my. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I want to see. I started thinking about those lyrics and I went, oh, that's it. Our soul is our psyche. It's yourself. It's what makes your personality, your character, your emotions, your feelings, your passion, your intellect, your mind and your thoughts, your will and your desires, your consciousness. Your soul is individualized. It's individualized. It's singular. It's what most people think of as what most people don't think of is it's the dwelling place for evil and our sinful nature. That's also what hides out and hangs out in our soul. You have to watch that. Be careful. Now, spirit. This is important. We're getting into the differences here. Spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Like our soul, it resides within us. But the spirit is a place for spiritual discernment, the supernatural, a place for peace and revelation. It is a place in which to communicate with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The person without spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That was kind of twisted around a little bit, so let me regurgitate that. A person that doesn't have the Spirit doesn't understand. They look at things that those of us that have the Spirit understand, they look at that as being foolishness. And the reason why is because they don't have the Spirit, so they can't understand that, okay? And I'm a mechanical kind of a minded person, and I like analogies. So here was my attempt at an analogy for you this morning. Spirit is like copper. And all of us understand and know copper because every one of us in here is either held or used an extension cord. Electricity cannot conduct through the plastic. Our extension cords are covered with a vinyl type of plastic. Electricity will conduct through the copper, just like the Holy Spirit conducts through spirit. So the Holy Spirit does not conduct through our body or our soul. The Holy Spirit conducts through spirit. Spirit conducts spirit, okay? Chapter 4, verses 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing the soul from the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here, the author of Hebrews acknowledges the difficulty in separating the soul from the spirit. This isn't anything new. It has been a problem since humankind started. Separating the soul from the spirit. Their analogy that they're using here was taking a sword and separating bone from marrow. It was that hard to do. Having a soul doesn't mean that you have a relationship with God. A non-believer and a Christian both have souls. But a non-believer does not have the Spirit. You are born with a body and a developing soul. We all are. But you are not born into the Spirit until you were born again or born into Christ. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, that Holy Spirit is bestowed upon us. It is a gift. It is given to us. And that is by our choice. We choose to accept that. And then once we do, we must learn to use that gift of the Holy Spirit. As some of you may know, just a couple of years ago, actually three as of yesterday, 3 years ago, I became a grandpa. And 7 months ago, I got to be a grandpa again. So I related this psalm of quieting my soul in a unique way, I think. When I was talking to my wife, Jackie, or actually when I'm talking to anyone, I suppose, little Miss Kinsley, my three-year-old granddaughter, will come up to me, and she will grab my pant leg and start tugging and going, "Grandpa, Grandpa, 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 Grandpa," and she won't stop until I drop everything or stop mid-sentence and give her attention and talk to her. She's three. I kind of understand that. But Miss Kinsley is focused on herself, her needs, her wants right now. Now, her psyche and her soul are demanding attention, and yes, it's self-centered. And again, she's three. She doesn't care what Grandpa's doing or who I'm talking to at the time. The only thing that's important to little Miss Kinsley is right now, she needs me. Right now. Funny thing about three-year-olds and the way they act sometimes, when we turn to God and we respond out of our soul and not our spirit, we're responding based on our feelings and our passions, our inner emotions at that precise time. This is what we're going to refer to as a soulish, S-O-U-L-I-S-H, soulish kind of response, meaning that it's something that is done to satisfy our soul, not our spirit. Now, I don't want you to think that things with soulish intent are bad, like selfish. I don't mean to instill that, because that is not what God intended. God wants us to feed our souls. Of course he does. That's how we become who we are. But God wants us to feed our souls and our psyche as part of who we are, but we need to feed or fuel those feelings and passions and our intellect. All those things are good, but they're really self-satisfying, meaning that we're the only ones that benefit from that. So keep that in the back of your mind for a moment. Now, when it comes to my new 7-month-old breastfed little Aiden, my grandson, Aiden wants to eat about every 30 minutes, and his primary focus on life at this point is to cry, to scream, to get attention, so that he can reduce the time in that next 30 minutes when he eats again. And so he doesn't really have much patience or need for grandpa at all at this point. Now, little Aiden is at the point where he's starting to get to that weaning stage where they're introducing that ugly stuff, the baby food things. But because of the security and, of course, that convenience that mama offers, providing everything that he needs at his quickest cry, it's an unsettling time for him to introduce this independence thing where he's getting food away from mama. But little does Aiden know that once he steps away from mama's breasts and gets past those cream peas and carrots, that there'll be a plate of grandpa's fried chicken legs and mashed potatoes and gravy that will change his life and his soul for at least a little while. Adults are not much different. We as adults are not a lot different than little 3-year-old Kinsley or 6-month-old Aiden when it comes to our relationships with God. Our soul impacts everything we do, and yes, sometimes we probably even act like a 3-year-old or a 7-month-old when we are trying to communicate with our Lord and Savior. Body, soul, and spirit. Which do you think God would rather us correspond with? Your body? Sure, your body can hear, but it's just a physical thing. Your soul can be quite complicated at any age, even 3. Our spirit is where that connection to the Holy Spirit is made. Your spirit will guide your soul. That is an important thing to remember. Your spirit will guide your soul. Don't live life just soulishly and pretend that it's spiritual. It's easy to get that mixed up. This is a problem for many new Christians. They attend powerful, moving worship services, or youth events, or Christian music concerts, where their souls are fed on this high energy and emotions that are very exhilarating. And it's a passionate experience. And those are important experiences. And they're all good for the soul, which is also good. But they oftentimes fall short on that spiritual connection after time goes by. And if we're not careful, we can walk away spiritually malnourished. If the only way that you can worship God and communicate with God is at a certain time, on a certain Sunday, at a certain place, with the lights a certain way and the music a certain way, you kind of get where I'm going with that? Maybe that is feeding more of our soul than it is our spirit. John chapter 6, verses 63, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Our psalmist today claimed to have, that would have been David, we assume, the psalmist today claimed to have calmed and quieted his soul. If we don't do this, if we don't calm and quiet our soul, does God see us like I see my little granddaughter tugging at my pant leg, going, Grandpa, 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 or are we going, God, God, God? I don't know, maybe. I'm not sure. Now hear me when I say the Lord wants us to come to him anytime. Anytime. It doesn't matter. We don't have to have our ducks in a row and our life doesn't have to be straightened out and our mind focused. And I don't mean to say that. Okay? But if we truly want to be led by the Holy Spirit, we need to be able to hear God. And if our soul is just screaming like a three-year-old, are we going to hear God? I don't know. The psalmist today understood that, how important it was to calm and quiet our soul so that that spirit can lead and guide us. So I guess maybe one of the answers to this that we all toil with, separating our soul from our spirit. I was thinking about that and I thought, how do we turn to God or tune in to God with our spirit? And I think it starts off with, we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that we're really good at feeding our souls. All of us are. And that's okay. But we need to be able to separate that. But we need to bring that to God in prayer. We need to pray to God for help with that. That we understand that our soul gets in the way of our spirit sometimes. And sometimes the soul starts steering. So bringing that to prayer, and we need to confess that to God, I think that's the first step. Then we need to work on parenting our three-year-old souls. Sometimes they act like that. We've got to get our souls in line so that we can connect with that spirit. We need to turn to God's word in the Bible, just like this psalm today. It gives us direction. It shows us the importance of calming our soul. So bringing it to God and going to the Bible and turning to the Bible for the words of inspiration. God's word will lead us to understanding that spirit within us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. So be in the Spirit. Amen.